get it fixed. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, you gotta get him fixed.
I gotta get him to see what. I can hardly turn the cartridge back, you know. I still. And I have.
You gotta like me about mechanical work.
Now, you know, Mr. Weaver, I thought you would know all about typewriters.
Me?
Uh-huh.
No, I always think I took good care of mine. I had International.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one of the best when I bought it. I bought one of the best typewriters. Never gave me a bit of trouble, and I used it. I don't remember how many years, and I got sick and quit. Had to quit business and everything. Didn't need it. And a friend of mine.
Friend of mine wanted it, and I
let them have
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah. But you see, the trouble with me is I can't keep mine clean, even.
You can't?
No.
Well, that makes it bad.
Yeah.
I got along pretty good with mine. I didn't. Did you want any top cut?
Yes, sir. Please, sir.
A whole lot on the top cut.
Yes, sir. Since this is June and July.
And you get 60 people in there on Saturday.
Not ever. That was just one time
yeah.
that I kept an account on.
Oh.
That's when I had extra good business. I've stayed all day in the barber shop through the week and not taking a penny until 8 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
During the panic.
Yeah.
And my expenses went on just the same. I had to pay for everything. License and rent.
Did anyone ever pay you in beans, Mr. Weaver?
Beans?
Corn?
No. Yeah, I've had them back at that time. If they brought in a little something, they gave it to you. They didn't. They bring you a little something like that, or they come through town peddling. I always paid them for it. Most of the ones that they lived on the farm out in the country, they always paid cash. There wasn't too many people who didn't pay
yeah.
at all or anything like that, but a few every once in a while. Well, it's the same way now. You know, there are a lot of people who's running out. They just don't say nothing about it. Just like I did then. I didn't say nothing. Didn't do no good. Wouldn't help me.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And then after you got them knuckles broke on the baseballs, Mr. Weaver, you had to go out there and plow that week and couldn't let on or else your daddy'd get after you.
Yeah, I was afraid he wouldn't let me play. He wouldn't have, probably wouldn't let me play it anymore.
Yeah. How about that?
Because he needed me to help him work because there's a large family of us and we had to work. Dad and mother couldn't do it all.
Yeah, and with three farms to take care of, I guess you were busy.
And, so that he had to have someone to help him. And you take paying labor. When you pay labor, you know, you don't come out much back at that time when you paid for labor.
You still don't. It's not much different, is it? If you got to pay.
You got to pay and spend more than. You got to spend more than
yes,
you
sir.
Take in, it doesn't pay. Just like you hiring someone to look at these cattle.
That's right.
And you go in the hole on that.
That's right.
You get out there and do the work yourself, and what you get, you gain that. You
yeah.
You keep that.
The margin is not enough. You don't make enough.
That's it. And sometimes the market goes down on stock until you lose. I've had it to go down on me when I had livestock and I didn't get more than half my money back. I used to buy cattle and haul to the market some and cash out through the country and haul for people. And I bought one for Mark Richardson over here and I told him it's too much. Of course, I sold him the cow and the calf when he was little and I used to handle that for him when he got ready, but he owed me to pay him $25 and I told him, I said, it won't bring $25 on the market. He thought it would, you know. Well, he'd bought two or three cows from me, you know, and I'd made a little on them. I said, well, I'll just go ahead. I know I'll pay him his $25, and I got $19 and something and hold it for nothing.
And you're trouble, yeah.
And I suppose to buy it, from it and handle it for him when it got up large enough. And he thought it was worth more than it was. And so his eye kind of told him. I told him, I said, I told you how, that it wouldn't bring that. See, the market come down a little bit, you know, and it would have brought $20, maybe $21 if the market hadn't dropped over 0.5% a pound. You get all that in buying and selling, speculating. I've had it to go up 0.5% a pound from what it was the week before. Well, I gained that 0.5. Then the next week, if it come down 0.5%, I lost that 0.5. And that's just the way business goes. You got to be a good loser to be a good gainer. If you can't lose, you're sure not going to gain every time.
Have to take some risks.
Yeah, you sure do, and by speculating. I always like to speculate, you know, because I knew I was going to lose part of the time. Because the market will drop on you. If you, sometimes you'll hold them until next year, and the market goes back up and can afford to do it. Got a place to keep them and feed them, and all like that. I was up there when I had that, and I had some. When I seen the market was off so much, and I was going, I lost $2 on a little calf about this high, and two on another. When I seen I was losing like that, and that one, I said, I went to no sale in mine, and I did no sale these, and I couldn't take them back. And these two, but I didn't want them. I didn't think that I could come out. But the rest of them, I no sale that night. Before I left there, a man told me, old Green Cold Springs, if I'd haul some he bought over there, he'd buy those from me. And I sold him those and hauled them to him. I was about daylight next morning, I got in from hauling. That's the way I kept them losing that week.
What you hauling in, Mr. Wheeler?
Pickup truck. I had a good body on the pickup truck, you know, and I could haul several small ones. One and two large ones, all I could put in there.
Mm-hmm.
I had extra springs on it and extra large tires, heavy duty tires.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'd go through the country and people write that they had one they wanted to sell, but they didn't want to fool with the market, you know. They wanted to just sell them and tell me what they wanted for them if I could. So I figured I could come out and play even. I didn't. I'd tell them, I said, I'll hold them to the market for you. And for so much, if you want to gamble on the price, some of them would say, I'd rather sell to you now, right here, and get my money right here. And I'd go ahead and buy them. The market that way goes up and down, just like this big stock market, you know, and up on Wall Street, in New York, and all those places. You hear over the radio. See, it goes, some days it goes up so much, and some days it comes down so much. Well, that's the way anything else you're buying and selling.
Well, I wish you had that pickup truck. I've got two or three right now. I need to move.
I don't know why I don't try to haul one now in the shape of me. That's a hard job. You got to be strong and healthy to hold that wheel sometimes. They get cutting up back there.
Yeah.
I have had them to tear the... my sideboards off, and we'd have to tie them in there and everything.
Oh, they're wild. Kick.
Just mean. Big bulls, you know, at home. Put a big bull in there sometimes, we'd have to tie them, put two lasso ropes on them, tie them down where they'd go right on over the top of that.
Huh.
I had one white face as bad, and that's the only white face I never thought about anything about it being bad, and they didn't tell me he was mean. Only white face I ever seen is bad. And I don't like to tell these too much because this was a dangerous thing. I got up on the, put them up in the shooting room in the truck, and I got up there to tie my tailgate, and he was cutting up, trying to climb over and got his front feet over. Fella beat him back, happened to be there with a walking stick, and we hollered, beat him over his nose, and he come back and he was going to walk over me and wouldn't let that, kept that body working like I couldn't tie up past the tailgate. I'd reach over and catch that bull in the nose right that away and hold him till they put lasso ropes on him.
Mr. Weaver?
If I'd been scared, I reckon I'd have done that. You put it, you get right in there, and you just keep working your finger this way. That's a tender spot in a bull.
But you learned that from working with a horse.
Yeah, well, you cut a horse's wind up here. See, if you cut him down, he can't breathe through his mouth. But the way you catch a bull, you catch him right in there and put your finger right in there.
It's just tender.
And he'd turn his head this way, and he'd been walking, going over fences, and just when he comes to a fence, push it down. And he's doing my truck body that way, and we got the lasso ropes on him. Happened to be that Ice Boland was a big 200-pound colored man, he and I was loading him, and he knew what to do, and I did too, and I held the bull, and he put the ropes on him.
Well, I believe I let him do the holding.
You wouldn't need him, because I didn't have time. If I'd known he was going to do that, I wouldn't let him caught me in that shape. I never had seen a white face, that was bad. Mm. But that was really bad.
And he was just coming over the back
just
end.
Just coming right on up. What he'd do, he'd just walk up and just walk right on over you. And you had to get out of his way.
Over the cattle frame.
Well, you see, I was tying the tail gates, fasten it back there.
Yeah.
And he kept pushing against those sides and working this way till I couldn't fasten them.
Yeah.
And then when he's turning around, you see, when he got turned around, he's going to walk right on out, back down the chute, right over me. And that's the only thing I could do. If I'd turn around this way, he'd have got me.
You mean the gate?
You were in with him?
No, I was standing on outside, but I was up on the chute, way up high, and see, if I'd have jumped down, if he'd come on out on me, he'd have killed me, maybe. And there wasn't one thing me to do is catch that bull by the nose that way and hold him. I knew that you could do that, but I didn't know who I was going to be able to do it now.
Well, now, how did Arch Boland get that rope on him?
Well,
he had to get over there with him.
He didn't get over. He reached over in there and put it around his neck and pulled him down. One fella pulled out one, another pulled out of him. Pulled the other rope. He put a bolt on it.
Was you still holding him?
I had to. I couldn't turn him loose.
Was he still headed backwards?
He's still been hitting those spots and hurting him so bad, he'd come right on over me. Haven't you never caught one of those? Many cattle you have around here?
No, they haven't caught me either.
Well, you're getting a tide where you can't run like I was. See, I couldn't jump out of that chute, and I couldn't get down, you see. Because if I turn that tailgate loose, it'd come right out back home. It fell right back out on me,
Yeah.
And then the bull would come right out on me too, you see.
Yeah.
Well, I had to have way up this high, you see, from the ground. And so that wasn't nothing me to do but hold him.
Did Iris Boland, did he handle cattle rights much?
Yeah, he bought lots of them. He had a big pasture place. He bought lots of them and give me half we'd make to haul them for him.
Oh, he would. You just split the profits.
Yeah, we had good luck on three. He bought three at Williston. He went over and bought them, and then he went back to me to get them, paid for them, and I hauled them to Gainesville, figured how much now than what our check was.
Three cows?
Three yearlings.
Three yearlings.
And how much?
How much
we gained on it. 80 cents.
You figured pretty close, didn't you? I didn't think ours figured close. I thought he left a good margin there.
he done just like I did when the market went down. That's what happened. We didn't get but 80 cents. I told him, I said, we ain't going to make anything on this.
Yeah.
I got a man to say he'd give us $6 more than we had in him, and ours wanted 10.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't come up to it, and so we got 80 cents.
Mr. Weaver.
That's a lot of fun in that, you know. You gain or lose.
The first cow I sold, out here, the regular cow, she kept it 2 or 3 years, and she wouldn't take. And she was, of course, she's big and beautiful. And Ms. Patterson got a hold of ours to come over here and haul that cow for me. And he said, "Now, I'll buy that cow. You know how they do."
Yeah.
He didn't want to haul her. He wanted to buy her. I said, "I'd just soon sell her to you as anybody else. 20 cents, 1,000 pounds. And he didn't say another word. Well, she brought 21 cents and weighed 1,100 pounds.
What do you think it is now? Well, I guess at that time, you take, he had to make about $8-$10 on one. If he didn't, he didn't come out good at it.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even make me an offer. I had a feeling he wanted to pay 15 cents for and buy her for around 800 pounds.
Oh, you didn't sell her to him?
Oh, no. No, I knew what she'd weigh and about what she'd bring.
Well, that's the way to do. You see, you just pay, how much you pay him to haul?
$10.
Well, it's a dollar difference. If you paid him 10,
yeah,
and you got 11, you gave him 11, you see, he wouldn't have got $11 if he'd bought her.
But he didn't even make me an offer. He said, "What did I take?" And he just let it stand at that.
And you said 20?
I said 20 cents is 1,000 pounds.
Well, now I made a rule this way that I always told the fellow what I figured he'd go. Now, the best I ever did on the calf, I'm going to tell you this one. I went out here at Flemington one day, and my buck wanted some hogs. He's lived out in the country on the farm, had a little farm out in the country. And he wanted me to buy him some hogs. I went out there to get some, and the fellow had backed out and didn't want to sell them, and he'd gone in service, and he decided not to sell them. And I was asking the Negro where that this other one lived at, and he told me, and he said, "Do you buy cattle?" And I said, "Yes, I buy hogs or cows." I said, "I buy these. I don't pull hogs much, less that I buy a few hogs along if someone wants me to." And he says, "Well, I've got a calf I want to sell." And we went back out to the house and looked at it. And I was going right there from Fleming to the Gable to the market to buy certain stuff that come in there, you see. And I wanted to buy some stuff, some milk type heifers, you know. And when they come in, I always bought quite a few of them and put them on the pasture and kept them in the broke calves. And when they did, then I sold milk cows, you see, too. And so we went on back there, and I looked at that calf, and he just had fed it some hay. Well, that's the wrong thing to do, feeding it cattle to the market. Now, if you feed it cottonseed meal and nothing else, no fuller, it'll make them sell better. And
what am I with hay?
Well, it makes them look full, and the hips don't show as good. And
oh,
the
sides. I see. Yeah.
And he had just had fed it. I told him, I said, "I wish you hadn't fed that calf that hay." I said, that'll cut the price 50%. I said, "I believe that calf would bring tops. Top, if you hadn't fed it the hay." So I went ahead and I told him, I says, "How much you been offered? $15 or $16 that calf?" And he says, he wouldn't answer it, you know. I knew I was about what he offered, you know, but he wanted 25 for it. I told him, I says, "I'm fine, we don't care if we bring. Unless the market goes up, it won't bring $25. Unless it weighs more than all you all are guessing, they guess from 200 to 300 pounds what it would weigh." Well, I looked at the calf and I figured it weighed 390. I didn't tell him, but I just let him have his high price, you know. It's too high to put it up. I also figured it weighed 390 or 400. I stayed around there and I told him, I said, "I'll give you $20 for it and haul it and take chances on it." And I said, "The market may come down. If it doesn't come down, I can tell you what it'll bring. It's not going to bring much over with that. If it weighs 300 pounds, you see, and you figured 8 cents a pound was a market that day. Well, at 8 cents a pound, and weighed 300 pounds, how much would that be?
$24.
3 into 24, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see, I had to haul it, and he wanted 25. I eventually went on and gave him $24 for it. And I said, you know, I'm just gambling on the market. And if it doesn't go up, and it doesn't weigh 390 or 400, I'll just lose. And it would have. Hauling it and everything, you see. Mm-hmm. Paying for selling it. I'd lost on it. But I said, I believe if that calf weighs 300 or 390 or 400, and a cat on up there in the market eased up 1 cent, and it brought me $32 and something. I figured that sure was luck.
That's figuring close.
It weighed 390 too. That's what it weighed on the scale. 390, I stand there and see them weigh it. And it was so broad, but it made the side sticking out. And it lacked half a cent nor a cent, I believe, was being tops on account of that. I'd made it come out pretty good if he hadn't fed it to hay, because it made the sides stick out. And it was a nice one. Now it was a nice calf.
Now you didn't keep them. You just handled them.
If they're ready for the market, and if they're milk type, I kept them over till I brought calves, and swapped them for beef type, or either I sold them for milk cows.
Mm-hmm.
And after the price went so much, I guarantee them to give so much milk if they'd take care of them. And if they didn't, I'd get them another and take that enough.
Mr. Weaver, that's a curious thing. I never heard you mention it, but all the things you've done now, you have never mentioned doing any singing or any playing banjo, guitar, or anything like that.
I told you about that, didn't you?
About what?
You told
somebody.
Told me. Over there, that's all.
I did? Well, I used to sing at church and go to church all the time. I ought to do it now, but I don't. Too lazy to get up in the morning. Don't go like I ought to do. And, I tell you, good knowing me, I didn't know anybody was going to do that. I was up in Tennessee one time and directing at a big same convention with those Vons. You heard the Vons.
Yes.
Up there at Loretta, you know where Loretta is?
No, I don't know that.
Well, off this side of Lawrenceburg, where the Bonds was.
Yeah.
I was up there, I had a big singer. I was a pretty good tenor singer, you see, and directed to Great Eve. But I didn't think about singing with those classic people, you know. I didn't want to.
Don't tell me you sang with the Bonds.
With all those fellas up there and had their songbooks.
Yeah.
All those big singers and quartets and everything, and they really sing in Tennessee.
Yes.
All those in South Tennessee and North Alabama, that's what we used to do. Now then, we don't do that. We go to these nightclubs and jokes.
Yeah.
But then it's a disgrace to do that. You had to go to church.
Those Vaughns, I remember old Charlie Sandifer used to have them come up there
and sing?
As much as he could. Yes.
Well,
sir.
Listen, did you know what, though? They still have them in North Alabama. And.
Yeah. Well, I've heard them.
I had a car wreck, and I could sing high tenor. And I'd sing high tenor to any song in a quartet. Till I had the car wreck. See, this knocked down in. Our brake bands run out of. I was going to Birmingham one night. Going home, going out to my father's out the other side of Birmingham, and my brake bands burned down going down Red Mountain, and I had a wreck just as I got into Birmingham. Hit a light pole, couldn't make that quick curve there, and it bursted and broke my cheek in right there. You can see it. And I never could sound up high then after that, and I never could sing anymore after that.
Well, how'd you get to sing with people in Tennessee?
Well, there's some people from Alabama that were singers, you see, and I didn't think I didn't know they'd been up there a long time, and I didn't know that they knew I used to sing down in Alabama. And I'd go to those up there and direct in Alabama and sing in quartet. Well, me not used to it, I was sitting over there singing tenor, you know, and I thought I was going to get by, you see. Happened to put one note on to go out and put the names down for the people to direct that day, and he slapped my name in there. He not expecting it, and he introduced me then as a big singer from Alabama. I felt like I was going to do the floor. And, if he hadn't said nothing, there, well, I only got stage shock, and I felt like I was shaking the house down. And
where
know,
was that?
That was back in 1921.
Whereabouts was you?
Out there in the country from Loretta.
Yeah.
At a big singing convention.
Yeah.
Well, I got up and directed to three songs.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was making a failure out of it, but I don't know. I reckon some of them said I did pretty good.
Mr. Weaver, Louise Grahams ever sing?
She could sing some, I think. She used to sing her in church in old songs. She never did sing none of that kind of music, like Vaughn songs.
Well, she likes music.
Yeah.
And
she would sing at church some, Louise would. In fact, when I came to Florida, there's a fellow from Georgia and another from Stevenson, Alabama, and this fellow, Barber, that I was working for when I first came to Florida, he had one of the best voices I ever heard on a man. But you couldn't teach him music. He couldn't read, and he didn't know one sign, but you go over a song, and he'd sing any part one time. Go about once or twice with him, and he'd get up there and sing it and not make that disco.
How about that?
But he couldn't ever learn the signs what to go by to sing.
No, he didn't need to, did he?
But well, if he had someone to go over it with him, let him one time, he'd get it himself then. Now that ain't no kidding. This man could do that. Well, I couldn't do that to save my life.
Well, how'd you do it? You had to know that.
Well, I had to study music lots and practice a long time before I could sing every bit.
Oh, it come hard?
It was hard for me to learn. One thing, I'd get stage shocked. I got up, you know, before the public, you know. And if you ever got up before the public and got stage shocked, you know how it is. Well, you know, it's a bad feeling.
Yes, I know it is. Those Vaughns could really sing.
They could sing. And
yes,
and all those old country boys around up there could sing. You could go way back out in the country and to some of those singings, everybody would sing. And they could sing, too. Why don't they do that still,
Mr. Weaver?
Well, you know, just people just quit going to them and don't care about it. Just didn't, have never been. It's just like now, if you like music, if you can hear a big pack of fox dogs running a fox, it sounds just like that good singing does to a fella that likes to hear it. Now,
yes.
Some people don't want to hear it. It gets on the nerves. They can't understand it. Well, I like it.
I don't like this old radio stuff. I don't like
that myself. Now, if you want to hear some good singing, about 8:30, get Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Nashville now. And get singing some of the songs we used to sing back in the teens. And that chuck wagon gang can really sing that old kind of singing. Did y'all ever hear that? Well, now that's the song that we used to sing.
Now, Jim and his daddy, they know a lot of that music.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get him to sing for us.
I don't know whether
he listens, Mr. Weaver. He never did sing.
Well, that's curious, isn't it?
He never done what?
He never sang, but he'd always listen.
He liked to hear it.
Yes.
But he played that steel guitar, didn't he? Didn't your father play that?
Oh, he played the old dobro.
Dobro.
Just
dobro.
You know what a dobro is.
Throw that away, Mr. Evans. Sorry.
How's
that?
I don't know for sure that. I reckon I've heard of it or seen it, but I don't remember for sure.
The old guitar, it has a steel drum, a steel plate underneath the strings, makes them sound a little twangy.
Uh-huh. Well, I've never seen one. I've probably heard of them, but I've never seen one, I don't think. Don't remember if I have.
Give us a little drink of water.
Wait, then you can flip out on your neck down there where it's just all right had you covered.
I'm going to start charging you, Miss Weaver. I'm tired setting up here. I want to hear, Faye?
Yeah?
You didn't know that Mr. Weaver sang with the Vaughn people.
I didn't sing with them, but one time I was up there and they put me on and I had to.
Well, that's amazing. That's the Vaughn Quartet.
They had good ones then, and
oh,
I didn't
yeah.
know those country boys up there could sing.
Oh, that.
All through that country. That's this side of Lawrenceburg.
Yeah.
You go way back out in the country, 10, 12 miles, and they'd have big convention singers out there.
Yeah.
Man, they could really sing up there in Tennessee.
Give a little something to drink here just a minute. Stay right there. Mr.
Now then you can
I don't know why it is that they hadn't rather get together and do that than listen to all this
foolishness
stuff on the radio.
Well, you think you know what West did down here in Wildwood and Oxford and all and Oklahoma. Back in the 20s, they had singing conventions down there, and they sung to minors. And Marion County was in it, but Lotchaway wasn't. And you couldn't sing from Lotchaway in it.
Oh, really?
And I went down there, and they used me for a judge every time, something I never did like to do.
I'm going to give you a glass of tea. I'll take a relative orange juice.
Well, thank you. I'll have one. I need to go. I've talked all the afternoon.
You'd rather sing than judge, Weaver.
Yeah, but I couldn't sing in because I didn't belong to one of the classes, and I had to be in Marion County or one of these counties. And there's people from Orlando, Tampa, and all over the country. And the church houses would be full, and all the yards, and you couldn't get a place to park your car hardly around the church house. And
goodness.
I went down there for several years. Every fifth Sunday they had a contest, and each class sung from each, and they had three judges.
Mm-hmm.
Three judges, and they had one time from Orlando, one from Tampa, and me from up here as a judge. And I never could get up and make a talk much, and every time they'd put it on me to render the decision, you see, about that. And as dumb as I was unlucky, they'd catch me on that. The other two, I'd try to put it on one of them first thing, you know, and they said no, and they'd both decide to make me get up and tell it. Well, lucky at Harry, I didn't get stage shock to doing that. But I got stage shocked up in Tennessee. I couldn't hardly get myself together all that afternoon. You feel like you're shaking, you never shake. And it's the worst feeling you ever seen to get in. And I've always been that way. Now my brother up there, he could get up there, and I don't think he ever got stage shocked in his life.
He sang too?
He's little, not much. He sung in one quartet that we had up there that my brother-in-law and one of the professors composed this song, and they put that high tenor so high that all the rest of the singers around home, we was all boys then.
Mm-hmm.
But we was going to singing school, just the old country singing school. And they said nobody couldn't have put it above. Third out of the line above. If you all know music, you know what that is.
Yeah.
Third out of the line above.
Yeah.
And they had it. You had to go up that high now to get that note. Well, They're having a singing convention there one day, singing, and they're just practicing, and all of them tried it, and I asked them to let me try that high tenor, and they wouldn't do it. Said, "Oh, we can't sing." You know, you can't.
You're just a boy.
All right, we had a singing school right in that same town that year, and I got my brother and two boys younger, one 17, one 18 years old, had good voices, and they got on to it, and we sung that song for them. I sung the high tenor. I don't mean I'm smart to that, but I had a high voice, high pitch, and I sung it. And I knew the other boys didn't have a high, but they could sing bass, and I couldn't. I never could sing bass. My voice is light.
Yeah.
High. I never could make a sound in your chest or here after I got to where I couldn't sing up from up here or sound up there. I couldn't sing. Well, I liked it. I don't like to tell these things. A lot of people don't believe it, but we had a quartet here, and we sung at the church, and they used to get us to go to the Baptist church down at McIntosh and sing on special from making open. After I had that car wreck, I never could sing anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I know a great deal about music. I can even write. I've studied harmony a lot. Put the soprano, alto, or bass, or tenor, then I can put the other two there.
Okay.
I can put the other two there.
Well, how'd you learn that?
I don't know. I didn't think when I first went to study music, I didn't think I could ever learn that stuff. Way that was. I said, I can't do it.
It just all looked like guts.
Just looked like everything to me, but I kept on studying at home there, and I bought me an organ, paid $125 for it, went to Birmingham, bought the best they had, and bought that to train my voice with, you know, and to make it sound, so I could sound these here notes, you know, when I was right. And don't you all laugh, well, I did. I got in front of the mirror, you know, in the songbook, and I learned my expression there. I wanted to give good expression, and I studied that right there at the house. I'd close the door before none of my people couldn't see me doing these things. I just meant to learn to sing it.
By expression, you mean so your face would look...
Yeah, you got to learn to give different expressions. You can give a bad one or you can give a good one.
Yeah.
Of course, you know when that picture was made back there?
Yeah.
All right, that's when I was doing singing. I could put on good expression. I didn't look quite as bad as I do now. Well, you seen it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot to show it to you all years up there
yeah,
that day.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like me now. Then it's when I was going around and I'd sing, and when that picture's made, I was going to play baseball then for a coal mine over in Marion County, Boston.
Yeah.
I went over and I played one game and had to go in service.
Now, Mr. Weaver, you just had to learn everything, didn't you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I figured if you can learn anything, I can learn part of it.
Yeah.
If I try. And you got to start. I started, and I wasn't no higher than that doing that, trying to learn things,
yeah.
Studying. I don't reckon I was over that high that I could sit up there at night and make as pretty a crooked axe-handle as you ever seen. I just like to do those things.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that. My granddad made a pattern, and I wanted to be like my granddad, make anything I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to get out and work. And when you go into school, you need to go to school. It makes it easier on you to, if you can, but I was kind of a handicap. I didn't get to go to school very much myself.
But your granddaddy didn't help you on your music.
No, I don't know where he died. My daddy's song. He used to sing an old, you heard the old Sacred Harp. I can't speak it as on my teeth. I can't speak a lot of words plain at all now. And he used to sing an old Sacred Harp.
Yeah.
You've seen them, haven't you?
Take a swig, get a little tea.
I say, haven't you?
Take a swig of tea.
Mr. Weaver, did you ever know the shape notes?
tape notes. Yeah, that's what I was singing.
That's
with.
What you sang by.
See, round notes. I like the shape notes the best.
Yes.
You give a better musical tone to the shape notes than you do the round notes.
And you taught yourself.
Uh-huh.
Haven't you noticed that?
No, sir, I hadn't, Miss Reba. But I'll pay attention and listen and see.
Well, you take the round notes. They don't sing it out and let the natural voice sound it like they do. And most of the singers now tries to sing classical and don't let it be just natural.
Yeah.
Now, you listen to the Chuck Wagon Gang way back there, that they're singing the songs now and the way they sung back then. And over Nashville, over your radio, if you got one, turn it on at 8:30 at night. And keep up with that and listen. And now Chuck Wagon Gang's on some weeks by themselves all the week. And they'll sing a meaningful song. And they've got a book, 349-page songs that they, I think, in their book that they've got themselves. I don't know how many generations they've been singing, you know. But those
well, they just way ahead of the bones, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard the Vaughns in a long time. They was mighty good.
Yeah.
And, but the Chuck Wagon Gang is Tennessee singers.
Yeah.
I think they are. They may have picked them up from different places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They do that just like we had this quartet. One fella from Georgia, two of us from Alabama, and we picked up a fella down here. He didn't have a very good voice and didn't he could sing pretty good. But we let him sing second bass. That didn't make so much difference. And Cyril Nelson, I sung first tenor, and he sung second tenor. And Charlie Wynn sung low bass, and the other sung high bass. Well, you see, the first tenor was high, and I could say it that way. I sung the highest part of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know when I sung in quartet tenor where I was at. I'd always sing that because many people could go up on those high pitches. And I could not sing the other one because I couldn't go down and get the low one.
Yeah.
I tried it. I wanted to sing bass, but I couldn't. I never could sing bass. If it got to about half down the... I've forgotten now just what to call that now. But anyway, we've got half a step. I mean, a half of... I'll never say it. I'll never speak it on account of my teeth. It's a lot of those words that I have to...
I know the word, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. See, I don't know where I could go over it or not. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Yeah.
Do, re... I just can't speak, Carl.
Well, I don't speak, just going up. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, but you start now with your pitch. I can't do it now like I used to. But see, my sound's killed up here. You go over it now with me. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. That's all I know.
Well, that's way down.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't do it for a long time since this got hurt up here. I got to where I can sound. See, I sound in my lungs far as way down then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do it when I was singing.
Yeah.
I couldn't sound down in my lungs.
Well, what songs did you all sing, Mr. Wheeler?
Oh, my goodness.
What
we
was some of your good ones?
Oh, there's just so many. Back of my head's been hurting the last two or three days. It makes me hard to get that together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what low blood pressure makes it do that. Well, I don't remember who I could call very many names. At times I can and times I can't.
The Vaughns used to sing there, the church in the valley.
Well, we sung that too. That song.
I don't know how that goes.
Let's see, come to the church in the valley. I'd come there singing bass right now. Oh, come to the church in the valley. It goes, I get mixed up. I try to jump from one bass to the other. I'm out of practice, and I can't sing bass no way. And the bass would come in. Oh, come. I say,
yeah,
I can't sound that.
I
know how it ought to go, but I just can't sound it.
Well, how did you, that's what I want to know, Mr. Weaver, is how did you get, learn all those notes and things like that by yourself?
Well, sir, I went to, we'd have singing schools, see, when we was farming, you see, that'd be about a couple of months, we didn't have to work so hard, you know, and we'd have to get out and get up at some singing schools and
Oh, you had a singing school out there.
Singing school teaching out there. Didn't you all have it in Tennessee? I bet you did.
Sure we did, but I've forgotten it.
Well, now you sang some for us.
I've never been a singer.
You haven't?
I've heard
you
a lot
have.
Of it. No, sir.
I can't sing. See, these teeth has run me about speaking. I just can't sound anything hardly. And if you get false teeth, you can't sing at all then.
Did you get somebody to teach you while you had to sing? I had
Vaughn's Rudiment that you can study at home. I had
really?
Pages. I had Two Orders. And all of those. And I studied all of the rudiments from every publishing company because they couldn't use the same definition for the meaning of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went down there and they found out that they've got to ask me questions, you know, about what certain things mean. Well, I use my head. I says, what rudiment do you use? And they'd tell me, then I'd go ahead and give a definition that that rudiment and give, tell them what it was. And by the way, they wanted me to be a judge because I did know a little about music, you know, and use me every time. Well, when you're sitting there listening and being a judge, you've got to be honest and fair to everybody.
Right.
And they like for you to, they wanted you, ask them to not use me every time. And they says, ain't nobody complaining but you, says, come on. I said, well, listen, some of them may not be satisfied with my decisions, with the decisions we're rendering to you all. They says, you the only ones ever complained. And so they'd make me go right on again. Well, I decided I'd miss once or twice, maybe they'd get some other judges and wouldn't get me, and I'd go back down. And I could sit down and listen and sing some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could sing at that time, you see. But I couldn't sing in those classes when I was singing. And it's hard to be a judge and listen to everybody and see if they made a discord or anything like that. And
then remember.
And you've got to impress. Of course, I hadn't been long since I'd studied all this music, you see. And it wasn't hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
You must have had a reputation of being pretty honest, Mr. Weaver. Everybody
well,
you
that's the only way to get, that's the only thing to do. I don't care who writes up in Alabama where I was reared at for my record up there and get it. I've had it done since I've been in Florida. I have to give them a lot of names. I says, just any of them pick out you want to.
Yeah.
Go up there and go around and see people if you want to. I don't care.
When did you start singing?
I was about 13, 14, 15 years old, something like that, when I started.
And that's when you start having to learn to write in your part? Or?
Yeah. You've got to start when you're young. After you get, 25 or 30, you don't learn as fast as you did back when you were a kid.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just like people learning how to work and to run business and do things. The quicker you start than that, the better you are. I would have some with an eighth grade education to teach businesses to have a college graduate to teach business. But if they're going to teach you, they're much better. See, they've got their mind on that. They've been trained for all this, and it's hard to make them change their mind back.
Yeah.
after they get that age to have a finished college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole lot harder to teach them business than this. I used to, when I'd sell a car as a school teacher, now I'm not throwing off on school teachers,
mm-hmm.
but they're used to teaching and telling everybody what to do. And it's the hardest for them to learn to figure out how to figure up those payments that you ever see. And
they'd learn one way of doing things, and it was hard.
Well,
it is
used to teaching instead of me telling them, you see. Well, I'd have them and say it's altogether different. It's just like Buck up there, my brother. See, I'll admit I didn't get to finish high school. But I got more education at home than I did ever in school.
Yeah.
And studying and watching people and doing and
yeah.
going around listening and talking to people who did have it. And of course, I'd ask them questions, you know, and they'd tell me the right answer, you see, and it helped me a great deal like that. Just same as if I was in school.
Mr. Weaver, you talking about now these fellas all out in the country there. They'd get together and sing, and have them singing schools. Now, you've seen a lot of that, haven't you?
Oh, plenty of it. And I like it, too. I want to go back up and go up and listen to them sing some more. And I want to find out to see.
Well, I'm trying to think.
I believe fifth Sunday in May, we are fifth Sunday in May. Someone told me they're still having those things down in there, down Webster and Wildwood and all that. I don't know where they are now.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
They have some up here around Lake City. I've been up to Lake City to the big conventions they had up there.
Yeah.
They had a couple of...
How long ago?
That's been back in the 30s.
Yeah.
You see, the last... Well, for several years, my health's not been good, and if
well,
I plan to go, I may not feel that good.
I'm talking about this music.
Uh-huh.
They would sing, some of it was sacred music, but a lot of it was just, what do you call it, common music?
No, well, it was all sacred, but you take some people want to sing old hymns way back down and think that's all sacred music. Now, this other was sacred music, but it was just a different type of way of singing. And some liked it better than did. You take, it's good to know all these old songs. Well, you take just like the Chuck Wagon Gang sings practically all the songs that's over the radio, comes over the radio, that is those old songs we sung back when I was a kid going to singing school.
Is that right?
And there's new songs in just composed. I used to sing them. If I could sound them now, I could
sing
them.
You got a book?
No, I don't have any now. I reckon I got them all misplaced or give them away or something. I did have lots of books. But you can order one of those Chuck Wagon books now, and I keep thinking I'll order one. But I can't sing anymore.
Who'd you sing with, Mr.
Cleveland?
Who did you sing with?
Here in Florida?
Yeah.
I sung with Phil Nelson from Georgia, was a bookkeeper at Franklin's Mill.
Yeah.
And would anybody all over the country go to these churches, you know, and we'd sing quartets for them. And Charlie Wynn, he is from Stevenson, Alabama, and he is a barber up here. I first went to work for him when I first came to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And... he was a singer, but he never could learn music. You'd have to Cyril Nelson's wife she could play anything on the piano, anything back then. You see, they didn't have big pipe organs like they got now. You see.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one of these old fashioned organs?
Oh yes.
You have, but I bet they have.
Oh yes,
they have. You have.
Yeah.
Well, I bought one of the big, fine one, the best one they had in Birmingham. And I left it up there and for Mother and Dad to let it stay there at the place, you know, at the farm. And little children got to come in, they wanted to play with it, and they didn't want them to play with it, mess with it, because it belonged to me, you know. I give it to them. And they said it's giving them so much trouble, you know, and there's fellas that kept wanting to buy it, you know. And I sold it. Sold it, and I told them to give the money to my dad, and they moved off and never did pay him for it and took that off. Never did pay for it, you know. And it would have been worth a whole lot now if I had it. It was one of those nice, fine, big, fine organs. Best thing they had in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I went to that best place in Birmingham where it was, and I bought it. Had them ship it out on a train to Carbon Hill.
You know, somehow or other, an organ...
Oh, that's much better to learn to sing by. That reason I didn't... Some of them said, why didn't you get a piano? I said, well, I'll tell you what I bought this for was to train my voice with.
Yeah.
And I says, I can't train it with piano. Piano only keeps time. And I says, this will sound that note just as long as you want it to sound, and it'll quit when you take your hand over it. Well, that's the way I train my voice to sing. Of course, the way I talk now, I don't sound the same. It seems like I could have...
We're not talking about the way you do now. But I had never thought about that. But that will, it'll hold, as long as you keep your finger on it, it'll play.
Well, you see, I did that, you know. It cost me $125. Well, you think back at that time, $125 is hard to get up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And but I figured I couldn't buy anything and do any more what I wanted to do than that. Now I'll tell you what I used part of that, all I got of that, I got a $60 bonus from the First World War. Mm-hmm. When they sent me that, I got on the train and took the other money that I needed and put it together and bought. I said, I'm going to put that bonus in something that I can keep.
How about that?
And I went to Birmingham and bought it, and 60 miles back out to Carbon Hill, and had it shipped out there on the train. Now we went down, I was a pair of big pair of mules in the wagon to haul it home, 8 miles.
And you sat down and started playing on it.
I went trying to play on it then, and I got to where I could kind of play, but my fingers being broke up, and this finger split half of it cut off when I was a little fella about this high. I never could use that to note with.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't use my fingers fast. I never could play very good, you know, like some people, you know. All I played is just at home. I didn't play anywhere.
But you taught that yourself.
Well, you see, I could sound these notes, you know, and sound them myself and learn. And I was doing like those boys that I told you, I don't know why, some of y'all I told about up there that lived about a mile and a half, never did get to go to school. But when they went up, took the state examination, they passed it 100%. And they're out. Every Sunday, they're out under walnut trees. They had walnut trees there. We little fellas playing up and down the creeks, you know. We'd pass by there, and it'd be getting late, and we'd be so hungry, you know. And they'd give us some walnuts, and we'd eat them, you see. And these boys would be out there sitting there, three boys, and there'd be two of them studying to make school teachers. And I'm not kidding you, there's some of the best we had up there.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to go to school. These boys did. And one of them made a preacher, a Baptist preacher.
Yes.
And he was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you've got to, when you go in school, he can help you, but he can't teach you if you don't try.
That's right.
He can't teach you.
There's so much you can learn out there under them walnut trees.
You can learn. You get out there, there ain't a thing in the world to bother you. Quiet.
And most of the stuff you learn out there, Mr. Weaver, will be something that's useful to you.
Yeah, you study what education I got. I'll tell you what I tried to get as much as I could of. Is arithmetic, spelling, agriculture, and history, and physiology or hygiene. What do they call it now?
Hygiene.
You see, some called it physiology back then, some called it hygiene.
Right.
And, of course, they've changed so much now, I'd be a dumbbell in school today. they've got a lot of words, you know, just like they've changed now. When you get a letter, they don't F-L-A and don't spell Florida out, they put F-L now for Florida and G-A for Georgia. I believe Georgia is always GA, but and Oklahoma, they put OK for Oklahoma now, and they don't put OKLA. like you used to.
Is that right?
And a lot of things. See, I take the Hunter's Horn magazine and the Chase magazine on these dogs. I've got stacks of them this high.
You know, and I haven't read a one of those, Mr. Weaver.
You haven't?
No,
sir. Well, I'll let you read them if you bring them back, but I've lost a lot of them and I'm trying to keep them.
Well, you wouldn't miss it.
Huh?
You got some
issues. Yes, sir. If I ever let a fellow have it, I let a fellow start. Take three off, and he had a heart attack here not long ago. And they had some things in there that I sure wanted. I wish I could find, I'm going to hunt for that and see if I can find it. Back in 55, I believe it was, a big rider for the Hunter's Horn knew him to keep down here in Michigan. And they hunted together up there, or somewhere up in there. And he rides for the Hunter's Horn. And he came to Florida at the bit, and he came to pass, going through Florida, he stopped Mr. Keeps down here. They came up to see my dogs. And he went on back and written a big story about that.
He did.
And that was a really good one.
You got it?
I hope I have, and it may be that somebody I let on them it and I didn't get it back, but it's in there, and I wanted to keep that story.
Are you looking to see? I'd love to see that.
And it was a good one. He made up and about it. Well, you take, if I could have went to see, I got sick when I first got all these high-blooded registered dogs. I've always kept good dogs ever since I was a kid. But these high-blooded ones that work good on big field trials,
right,
the showed are either run good. I could show them or run them, either one. I got sick and couldn't even walk and but I'd drive out and let them train themselves. And I couldn't even go to a field trial. Can't go yet. If I plan to go right then, something happens.
Are you still, what are you, you've been hiring out here lately?
What say?
You've been off on a job here lately?
Well, I worked a little bit for a fella down here at McIntosh, a few hours at a time, put up a little screen for him.
Yeah.
If I drive away from the house, somebody'll come by. And, and I stay there a whole lot, and if anyone comes, maybe two or three comes.
Yeah.
And I stayed there last Saturday and Sunday, I believe it was, all day long, and they haven't been a soul a long flight of parts this week. For nearly 2 weeks I wasn't on stops.
And then you go off today and we come by.
Well, I don't know how many will be there today, you know. You see, I was out all day Sunday and wasn't one, may not be any.
Yeah.
And of course through the week as they pass through, hunters and different ones stop trying to see me. And
yeah,
I'm pretty well known and my dog's known all over the country, you see, and they stop by. And say, looking for a dog, if I know if anybody's got one for sale, I tell them and they come to me to get information, you see. And I read the Hunter's Horn and I know who's got dogs all over the state of Florida. But these field trials they're having, I can't have to go down and handle my dogs. Got no place much to run them now to train them.
Old Jack Heron and his wife back together?
Yeah, they back together.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, they got back. I don't know.